Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and promotions here at Capital OTB. Gulfstream in the midst of their championship meet, and it is going very well. They had a couple of stakes yesterday that we'll take a look at. The highlight yesterday was obviously down at Fairgrounds and worked out well for me. We'll touch on that in a little bit. And I should say we'll talk towards the end of the show about Fairgrounds as well, because I'll save the Risen Star replay for a little bit later. I'm going to be joined by Mike Curry from the Jockey Club. Mike also does a lot of work, writes a lot for America's Best Racing, which is an arm of the Jockey Club. But he concentrates a lot of the writing on the three-year-old scene, particularly this Derby Trail this time of year. So I thought, middle of February, good time to assess things on the Derby Trail. And we'll check and see what Mike had to think yesterday about the Risen Star and the performance by Mandaloon as well. So that's coming up a little bit later on. We'll also have some handicapping, as usual, in our second segment. We'll start things out with a recap of some of the stakes action from yesterday, which, as I say, will include some of that nice stakes action from Fairgrounds, obviously. Let me alert you that today is a prize wheel day here at the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue in Albany. You come down, you put your name in the hat. Folks randomly selected throughout the afternoon. Then you go up, you spin the wheel. You can get vouchers. There's some swag on there. It's always a lot of fun. Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon for the prize wheel. There's also an online Pick 5 bankroll today. I think you still have time to put your name in the hat online and potentially get selected for the team. We'll be playing the late Pick 5 today at Gulfstream. So take your shot to get on the team. Check out the website for more information. And there's also a knockout challenge here at the Clubhouse Racebook tomorrow with the holiday. Some of the bigger venues are running, so you can come down and enjoy that action and take advantage of the knockout challenge as well tomorrow here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Let me do some other bookkeeping from yesterday, because yesterday there was the Rainbow Six at Gulfstream, mandatory pay. And when did they put in? Pool was $5.8 million by the time things were all said and done, with the carryover in there. Also, it was a rough start to the sequence if you put a ticket together and took a pop. Things started out with a 30-to-1 shot. And then they were fairly logical. There was a $33 horse in there, but you had the $62 horse, then $4, $12, $33, $2.80, and $4. The $2.80 was Mischievous Alex, who we'll look at in a couple of minutes. That I put a little ticket together, posted on Twitter. That was a single for me. I'm sure a single for a lot of people. So then it becomes a Pick 5. And you had the $4 winner in the last race. I went a little bit deeper. I wasn't quite as convinced on that one. But theoretically, you could have pared down in there as well. $4 winner in the second leg. But it was tough to kick things off with that $60 winner. All that said and done, for 20 cents, if you did have that $60 horse on top and then swept the remaining five, you wound up with $17,000 for your trouble. So hopefully some folks here in the neighborhood picked that up. And let me just see if I can pull up quickly, because I also talked yesterday about the carry over in the late Pick 5 at Tampa. They had almost 50,000 going into the pool, and those Pick 5s are so popular, you knew that was going to attract some attention. Trouble there is they also started out with a $60 winner. Let me just see if I can go down here quickly. I didn't write them down, but go down and first leg $63, second leg $7 and change, the third leg $4 and change, then 16 and change, and 8 and change. So it became a little more logical after the opening leg. And if you played that Pick 5 yesterday, you wound up with $5,100 and change for each 50-cent ticket. So, again, both of those look like fun. We're taking a shot, but with $60 winners kicking things off, I'm sure a lot of people were a little bit discouraged right from the get-go there. It was a tough start in both of those sequences. All right, let's look at some of the stakes action from yesterday. And as I say, the highlight was the Risen Star down at Fairgrounds, but we'll hold that a little bit later for when Mike Curry joins us. We'll kick things off and kind of work backwards Fairgrounds from the end of the card going back. And the end of the card was the Risen Star. So again, saving that for later, we'll go to the Rachel Alexandra. I said that it looked like when we did the stakes preview, Mike Callahan and I, and talking a little bit about the stakes yesterday with Brian Addo on Racing Across America as well, it looked like the Rachel Alexandra was going to go between Clairiere for Steve Asmussen and Travel Column for Brad Cox. They were both coincidentally coming out of the Goldenrod last November at Churchill, where they ran 1-2, Travel Column being the winner and Clairiere running second. But it was only Clairiere's second career start. She's bred to be a very good one by Curlin out of Cavorting. And up here in Saratoga, we remember Cavorting certainly in the second start of her career. She won the Adirondack up here. The next year, she won the Test. She went on to win the Personal Ensign up here. She also won the Phipps downstate. So Cavorting seems to have reproduced her talent in her offspring Clairiere, who looked good in a career debut at Churchill in October. And I was in doing the handicapping show that day, and I said, this is going to be a nice little runner for Steve Asmussen at Stone Street. Subsequently, second start of the career, second behind Travel Column, and then they make their three-year-old debuts yesterday in the Rachel Alexandra. And number one, Clairiere gets it done. Crafty ride from Joe Talamo. I thought coming out of the gate, he had the one hole. And Clairiere's the number one. Travel Column is the number eight. Travel Column has the lead. And Talamo had the rail all the way around. Tips her out right here and grinds down Travel Column. But as I say, coming out of the gate, he had the one hole. And he kind of just faded to the back of the pack, Talamo on Rachel Alexandra. But subsequently, that allows him to save all the ground. He really didn't move from the rail until that move to the outside that you saw right there at about the 16th pole. So he saved every step of ground and gets Clairiere up by a chart margin of a neck. Beyer was only an 83 from what I read on the internet this morning. We'll see how that shakes out as we move along. But Clairiere, the winner, Travel Column runs second. Moonswag runs third. I think Clairiere is going to be a nice one for Asmussen and Stone Street. That's not to take anything away from Travel Column, who for Brad Cox and Larry Best OXO also. Travel Column now four starts, two wins, a second, and a third. Clairiere now three starts, two wins, and a second. And I think they'll both go on to be notable three-year-old fillies this year in that three-year-old filly scene as we move along. But it was a nice performance yesterday by Clairiere in her three-year-old debut to kind of validate what I thought in that debut effort back in October at Churchill. It seemed like, with that breeding and these connections and nice performance like that, she'll go on to be worth watching. And it certainly seems like that's going to turn out to be the case. In the Fairgrounds Grade 3 event on the turf, I liked Logical Myth, the number 6 horse in here. I got a decent price of 6-1, and I got a good run down the stretch to run second. But Captivating Moon kind of got the jump at 43-1. Captivating Moon is going to get it done here for Chris Block, Pedroza on board. Captivating Moon is the number 10 horse. Logical Myth, the number 6. The favorite in here was Factor This, the number 8 from Brad Cox. And you can see that one, who led fairly late and much of the way around, but then is going to get a little bit swallowed up here towards the end. as on the outside, as I say, Captivating Moon just got the jump on the horse I like, Logical Myth, and chart margin there, 1 3/4 at 43-1, blows up the board a little bit. And really, that late sequence otherwise was kind of logical down there. The all stakes pick five and pick four, but it was a competitive race, and certainly you could have made a case for Captivating Moon. Looking at the board and thinking, 43-1, Miss Horse, I'll take a shot. There were horses that I think looked better if you were handicapping more logically. But as I say, if you're looking for a price, you could have looked down and maybe come up with Captivating Moon. But over the course of the last nine starts, going back to the entire 2020 season, there were no wins on the resume. So the 43-1, you know, as I say, you would have to search a little bit. And that one wound up blowing up the picks towards the end of the day at Fairgrounds, whereas I know otherwise it was a little bit logical down there towards the end of the day. One of those logical horses, and it was very interesting and exciting to watch and see, you know, an up-and-coming player in the handicap division now. The Mineshaft Grade 3 event, a couple $100,000 up for grabs, and a mile and a 16th. And Maxfield got off slowly and was kind of far back and just thought, maybe early. You thought maybe not his day. But then as they came around the far turn and even into the back stretch, Maxfield's going to be the number four horse, Sonoman the number six, Chess Chief the number three, Blackberry Wine the number seven. And you can see Blackberry Wine kind of got the lead and looked like, yeah, maybe okay. But Maxfield coming around the turn finally got in gear. And then you knew, oh, okay, Maxfield's going to get it done. And he does. Blackberry Wine ends up getting swallowed up a little bit and winds up running fourth. And as I say, Sonoman second, Chess Chief third. Sonoman at 18-1 was, I had these two 1-2, Maxfield and Sonoman. And I'm just looking at the exacta. Yep, $21 for the exacta with a $3.20 horse on top. So decent little exacta with Sonoman underneath. But Maxfield, according to what I read this morning, 99 buyer, solid performance. This is a horse that certainly showed plenty of ability last year, start of the career, going back a couple of years actually. Started with a maiden breaker September 2019. At Churchill, maiden breaker in the career debut, then goes to Keeneland, wins the Breeders' Futurity. Then a little bit of a ding, has to go to the sidelines, comes back in the mat win at Churchill and wins that. And then again, goes to the sidelines for an extended period of time, comes back in December, the Tenacious down at Fairgrounds to kind of kick off, still a three-year-old, but essentially kicking off that four-year-old season with a December 19th start. And kind of signals, okay, I'll be I will or I won't be a player necessarily in the handicap division. But with the win in the Tenacious to run the record to 4-for-4, Maxfield kind of signaled, okay, you're going to have to watch me. And then yesterday's performance, as I say, getting off slowly, being kind of far back, and then kind of grinding a little bit on the back stretch and making that move on the turn and into the stretch. Again, the chart margin, 3 1/4 lengths, 99 buyer, pretty solid performance there yesterday from Maxfield, who again now a definite solid player in this 2021 handicap division. And finally, we'll go to some ungraded stakes action yesterday. There were a couple ungraded stakes. The Colonel Power was moved off the turf. I didn't pull up the replay there, but in the Colonel Power, for anyone curious, Just Might won that. A horse that with the surface switch was going to be okay. Went off as what the co-second choice at 5-2, and Just Might got it done in the off-the-turf Colonel Power. But the Albert Stahl Memorial stayed on the grass and was won by Delica. I had Delica underneath. I thought Secret Message was going to be okay for Brad Cox. Delica, the number seven, winds up winning as the second choice, close-up second choice. Secret Message was the favorite. That one wound up fifth. The Leak of the number seven wins. Temple City Terror, the number two, second. Past the Plate runs third. But Dalika certainly having a good season down at the fairgrounds. Two starts back, won the Blushing KD middle of December. Ran fifth last time in the Krantz, but, you know, it was an okay fifth after having contended a little bit early faded. But here yesterday, sits just off the pace most of the trip around, then gets the first jump on him. Chart margin was a length for Dalika. Al Stahl appropriately winning the Albert Stahl Memorial. So you'd have to think that was a little bit emotional maybe for the Stahl connections. Dalika getting it done in the Al Stahl Memorial at Fairgrounds. As I say, to kick off some of that later stakes action. The Colonel Power actually kicked it off, but as I said, kind of not counting that as it was moved to the main track yesterday. And given the situation on Thursday, it was a monsoon. And when we talked to Brian Eddo Friday morning, he said it had rained all night, and they were down there in New Orleans kind of, how are things going to shake out for Saturday? Given the, you know, the rain they had Thursday into Thursday night, I thought things worked out very well for the fairgrounds. Only the ones, they had a couple of turf races taken off, but only one of them was a stakes race. Otherwise, that, you know, the fairgrounds and the Stahl Memorial stayed on, and things held up. The main track played well, so I thought it was a good day given the, you know, monsoon kind of conditions that we had Thursday and Thursday night down there. Let's go over to Gulfstream. They had a couple of stakes that are also worth taking a look at with some decent performances, and we'll start things out in the turf sprint. I called them Leinster, but according to the pregame show yesterday with Acacia and Ron, they said Pete Aiello was saying it should be Leinster. So I'll go with that. Leinster, with the triple-digit buyers coming in to the Gulfstream Park turf sprint yesterday, took all the action at 2-5. And if you took the 2-5, you had to sweat it out a little bit. On the outside there, Black Cap, Red Silks, it is Leinster, the number six horse. Number two, High Crime, runs second. Number three, Harry's on the Loose, runs third. So the top three via the odds run 1, 2, 3. But boy, 2-5, you had to work here. Gets up in the shadow of the wire, Leinster, getting it done. And as I say, came into this race with three triple-digit buyers, including it last time out before this race, a good third-place finish in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. So this was the seasonal debut. But as I say, if you were taking the 2-5, he just got up in the shadow of the wire to get it done. But it was a nice performance. Rusty Arnold, Luis Saez, Leinster in yesterday's Gulfstream Park Turf Sprint. The Gulfstream Park Sprint on the dirt also had a 2-5 short-priced favorite. And in a field of four, as I say, if you were taking a shot at that Rainbow Six mandatory yesterday, this was where you could have pared down and maybe taken the single with Mischievous Alex. And Mischievous Alex will get it done in here, the number five horse, again, at 2-5. And this was a little less of a tense moment. You know, as they turn into the stretch, you maybe think, oh, he's going to have a little trouble. But then about the eighth pole starts to pull away from this crew. And at 2-5, Mischievous Alex, final chart margin was just over three lengths. Running second, Frosted Grace, Cajun Brother, runs third. But a nice performance from Mischievous Alex, who was one of those horses going out for Safi Joseph, who is having another good meet down there and continues it with Mischievous Alex. Triple-digit buyer last time. I did not see yet a buyer from yesterday, but you'd have to think it's probably going to be pretty solid again. So on the sprint side of the game, this will be one to watch going forward as well. So yesterday we saw a number of performances, obviously, that will play into stakes action going forward this year. And another one of those, finally, to wrap up the stakes replay segment, we'll go out to Southern California because amongst the fillies and mares, the Santa Monica results will probably play into the end of the, you know, the rest of the year in this division, certainly out on the West Coast. Our friends at West Point had Hard Not to Love. Hard Not to Love The number four horse actually went off as the 2-1 favorite, but had a little trouble early and unfortunately winds up running seventh in the field of nine. But the winner will be number one, Merneith, for Bob Baffert. So Baffert gets it done. You can see Merneith here on the lead at 9-1, a solid winner of 2.25 lengths. Number six, Golden Principle, second. Kahira, the number five, runs third. But no sweat for Maldonado, Edwin Maldonado, Bob Baffert coming down the stretch with Merneith. She's shown some ability already in the career. Had nine starts, three wins, three seconds, a couple of thirds. It is Bob Baffert. Won a stake in November at Keeneland, third in the La Brea last time, and now makes the four-year-old debut and makes it a winning one. And as I say, looked pretty good out there in Southern California, winning the Santa Monica. So again, a older fillier mayor runner to keep our eyes on as the year progresses in that particular division. Some other stakes results didn't pull up replays, but down at Tampa, the Goddess Lisa wins the Minaret, and boy, she's a nice horse for Gerald Bennett. Being a Bennett horse, probably as the year progresses, be out in the Midwest someplace, but this is a horse that the Goddess Lisa that I think could step into, you know, Philly and Mayer Sprint Company anywhere. So we'll see. I mean, when you have a horse like that, maybe you do take a pop, regardless of where your base is. But she looked good yesterday. The Golden Lisa, the Goddess Lisa at Tampa and the Minaret, also on the card yesterday. The Pelican Zenden wins that at 7-1. The Golden, the Goddess Lisa was 4-5. Zenden 7-1 wins the Pelican. Sammy Camacho on board. He had a good day yesterday. Super Stonehenge runs second for Mark Cassie. If you were playing or watching the Pelican and you liked Chivalry and or Cool Arrow, who were the 2-1 favorite and the 3-1 second choice, oof, they just never got in it. They were sitting in the back of the pack early and just never got. I mean, I'm not saying they're need for the lead types, but they were not in the vicinity of where you would think they should have been early in the race, and they wind up running fifth and sixth in the field of seven there. Also yesterday, the El Camino Real Derby. The Risen Star was a 50-point race, and again, we'll look at that replay a little bit later. But this was a point race as well, a 10 points, I believe, to the winner. And I didn't pull up the replay because I always feel like the El Camino Real Derby out at Golden Gate is more, I kind of feel like it's a prep, whereas we're looking at Derby trail horses. I'm thinking these horses are more prepping for the Spiral or the Jeff Ruby stake at Turfway. Because this at Golden Gate, we're on synthetic, the Spiral out at Turfway on synthetic. But the winner yesterday, Rombauer, may be interesting to watch because that horse, first couple of starts of the career were on the turf, but then ran second in the American Pharoah on the main track down at Santa Anita. Tried the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at the end of the year last year. And, you know, ran an okay fifth in the field of 14. So this horse has had a couple of dirt starts that were okay. Goes up to Golden Gate for the El Camino Real Derby in his three-year-old debut. And Rombauer, being based down at Santa Anita, gets it done for Mike McCarthy. And so be interesting to watch that one and see what they try next, because again, did put a few Derby points in the holster. And again, normally I think of this race up there on the synthetic as producing, you know, runners that may be interesting in other venues, not necessarily the Kentucky Derby, but Rombauer may be one to watch going forward. Just interesting to see what they choose next for that one. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do a little handicapping, and then a little bit later on, we'll be joined by Mike Curry from the Jockey Club. And as I say, you can see his work on America's Best Racing, where he does a lot of coverage of the three-year-old action. So we'll get a little three-year-old conversation coming up with Mike a little bit later on. But as I say, after this break, a little look at some afternoon action, some Sunday afternoon action. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
is the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Again, I'm Seth Merrow in the studio, and thanks for joining us. I thought we'd take a look maybe at the early pick four at Tampa, see if we can get something going there, toss out some ideas if you want to play that wager. I don't have a specific ticket, but we'll take a look at the sequence and toss some ideas out at Tampa today. And again, it kind of goes back and forth at Tampa depending on how many races they have on a particular day. The pick four will either be the second or the third race on this Sunday afternoon. It starts in race number two. Second race at Tampa, bottom level calendar condition claimers going six furlongs. I have a 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'd almost be tempted to say you could kind of lean on the top pick, but Ledecky and nothing's free with Camacho, who was riding so well yesterday. I'd be a little bit skeptical or a little bit leery of maybe leaving them off. But our next role, and I have a 2, 3, 4, 5. Our next role is Georgina Baxter and Averill Racing. You know, potent connections down there in Florida, certainly. And this one comes off a nice win at Tampa, albeit in May. So that's the question mark. Long layoff and bottom level calendar condition claimers may need a start to get back into good form. The thing is, I think this horse number-wise can probably come back a little bit and still have an edge on this bunch. But as I say, I'd probably be cautious here. Ledecky is usable on a little bit of class relief. Three starts back was in similar kind of company and ran a good second. Subsequently was in against a little bit better. I think moves back to the comfort zone today, Ledecky. And then Nothing's Free has plenty of early speed. And maybe more importantly, Sammy Camacho. Last start, 7 furlongs, cuts back to 6 today with the early speed. And Camacho, who was riding really well yesterday, again, be leery maybe of leaving that one out. But I have it in the second at Tampa, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Race number 3 at Tampa, again, bottom level calendar condition claimers, this time going 7. I have it 7, 8, 3, and 6. I put Legacy Azteca on top. Just can't ignore the class relief for this one. It's the kind of class relief that maybe makes you scratch your head a little bit, but I think potentially just being a little bit realistic and probably is going to be a good fit with this group. Gallardo on board. He's riding well at the meet also. Gold Wing in the second spot. This horse has been knocking heads with this level over the past couple of starts, one of those going back to Presque Isle. But the seasonal debut at Tampa, decent little third behind a couple of next out winners and with a number that matches very well with this bunch. So I think Gold Wing is a player in here. Getting into Mischief in the third spot. The last couple of finishes, really, you go around the page, the last few finishes weren't really inspiring. It's just another one of those situations where today you look at this horse compared to this particular field, I think getting into Mischief is going to be an okay fit with this bunch. So in the third at Tampa, I have it 7, 8, 3, and 6. Race number 4 at Tampa on Sunday afternoon, $8,000 conditional claimers, 8.5 furlongs the trip. And this is one of the reasons I pulled up this early pick four to look at. Can we believe the morning line? I'm not sure, but I'll buy into it, certainly if it holds up. 6, 8, 5, and 3 for me. and the fourth of Tampa. Neat Street on top. It's Gerald Bennett and Ronnie Allen. Certainly the Bennett horses have been running very well at the meet. And this one, maybe not one of those that's running that well, but gets the class relief that I think puts this horse in a good spot. The numbers this horse is firing match nicely with this group. You add that in with the class relief and being a Bennett horse, I think Neat Street is going to be a real player in here. And again, because it's Gerald Bennett, I mean, the betting public is just too crafty, I think, to let this one get away at 8-1. But we'll see. Again, the last few finishes haven't been spectacular by any means, but nice improving series of numbers, little turf to dirt moves, some class relief. I think there's some interesting things to kind of key on in here. But I suppose there are enough negatives. I'm hoping. Let's hold up at the price. We'll put Neat Street on top. Silver Edge becomes more logical if you're looking at the PPs. Been facing this kind of competition over the past few starts and has done decently, has been, you know, competitive and kind of knocking on the door. Villa Gomez on board. He always rides well down at Tampa. So as I say, Silver Edge becomes more logical. This horse will take action. There's no question about it. I'm just, I'm curious to see what Neat Street's going to go off at. Surprise Warrior in the third spot. Again, this horse also been knocking at the door with this kind. Last time, a good second place finish and a little bit of an improved effort off the start two back. So seems to be moving in the right direction. Seems to be primed for a good effort. Prize Warrior also worth considering. And then Silent Mischief down in the fourth spot. This one may have to step it up a little bit as compared to Silver Edge and Prized Warrior. But I don't think that's totally out of the question. I probably, if I'm doing the pick four ticket, I'm probably fine going 6, 8, and 5, going the top three. But, you know, if you're looking around for another horse that may offer some value, Silent Mischief maybe becomes a little bit interesting. But to me, it probably goes through those top three. In the fourth at Tampa, 6, 8, and 5. Race number 5 at Tampa on Sunday afternoon. Optional claimer and a starter allowance. 6 furlongs the trip. Short field in here. I have it 5, 3, 1, and 6. I put Fan on top. And this may be where you could pare down the ticket if you believe the last number. Career debut back at the end of December was an okay second. But then comes back to start the season, moves up the claiming ranks a little bit, moves up the maiden claiming ranks a little bit, and wins, and does so with a buyer number that jumps up 29 points, and a buyer number that clearly has an edge on this bunch. So, do we buy the number? Is the move from a maiden 25 claimer to this optional claimer starter allowance going to be a class obstacle? You can make those arguments if you're looking against, but you can also look at that number last time and think, I'm going to pare down in here on my ticket, and I'm going to hang my hat on that 79 buyer, which I'm just looking has about 20 points on the best buyer in the rest of the field. So, again, Fan looks pretty good to me, but, you know, there are those, the class question mark and do you buy the number? You can make those arguments if you're looking to maybe end your pick five with some value, because this is one where the betting public will definitely wind up on Fan, and a lot of people will single in their pick five. If you're looking for an alternative, Gone to Cabo, interesting for drawing away stable, comes over from the east coast of Florida, and that's always a potent venue class move. This horse broke the maiden for a 16 tag last time over, two starts back over at Gulfstream, and last time tried a stakes race at Gulfstream. So clearly they thought enough of this horse off the maiden breaker to move in against a little bit tougher, and ran third behind Competitive Speed in that Glitter Woman. So Gone to Cabo, as I say, could be an alternative if you're looking. And Sammy Camacho is on board Flash Town, who comes down after having tried Allowance Company at Charlestown last time. Didn't fare that well there, but at Gulfstream, two back on the turf, a close-up third. Could be an interesting alternative, and as I say, after the nice day yesterday, Camacho had, I'm going to be attracted to almost anything He's jumping on board this afternoon down at Tampa. So, again, Tampa's fifth race for me, 5, 3, 1, and 6. Just before we go to the commercial, pull up the leaderboard that was sent out last night by Churchill Downs. Mandaloon with the win yesterday, 52 points. Essential Quality, 30. Midnight Bourbon, 26. Proxy, 24. And Keep Me In Mind, 18. Rombauer, number 6 on the list now with 14. But I said it last week, before we got to the first 50-point race yesterday in the Risen Star, the list, you cannot be sitting calmly on the list last week with the number of points. Essential Quality on top with 30. 30 is borderline. You could kind of feel okay, but Essential Quality, we'll look next week down at Oaklawn and see what he does. He'll put some more points on the resume, certainly. But now when you get to this 50-point level, Mandaloon with 52 is probably pretty good. As horses start to put those points on the board over the next few weeks. And again, we have, I'm just looking at our points races. Gotham coming up is 50. Tampa Bay Derby is 50. San Felipe 50. Rebel 50. Then we move on to some 100-point races with things like the Louisiana Derby, the Florida Derby, the Jeff Ruby Stakes, also 100 points. So again, we'll start to move into that level where if you win and you can put 50 or 100 points, you're in. Up until this week, though, when we started those 50-point races, couldn't really feel super comfortable. It's good to have points, but it's not like anybody was a shoe-in, and they'll start to become shoe-ins as we get to these 50 and 100-point races. All right, speaking of three-year-olds, that will be the topic next. We'll be joined by Mike Curry from the Jockey Club, and as I say, you can find his work on America's Best Racing, where a lot of his articles cover the three-year-old scene. So I thought we'd reach out to Mike and get a little mid-February assessment of the three-year-old scene, get some of his thoughts also on yesterday's Risen Star and the performance by Mandaloon. All of that coming up right after this. Stay tuned.
Horses racing, people betting. It's been going on since before the Roman Empire. And the fastest horse is still the one that wins. Where there's gambling, there's cheating. That hasn't changed either. What has changed are the tools used to combat doping and cheaters. Today, professional horse racing operates under an aggressive anti-doping program, testing labs on par with the Olympics, and standards tougher than human sport. For 85 years, the Association of Racing Commissioners International has fought for safe horses and honest sport. ARCI standards form the basis for the rules of racing. Today, they call for a new expanded program to protect all horses, young and old. To join with them or learn more, visit ARCI.com.
County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, we are joined now by Mike Curry from the Jockey Club, and also you can find his work on the America's Best Racing website, where, as I say, a lot of his articles focus on the three-year-old scene. And we've taken a couple of steps along the Derby Trail, middle of February, a good time to kind of assess where we are and who are the horses worth watching, and moving forward, who will we kind of land on maybe? And moving forward this afternoon with the Kentucky Derby Future Pool kind of wrapping up later on this afternoon. Some thoughts there as well. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. Happy to have you on board to talk a little bit about the three-year-old scene. As I say, when you get in the middle of February, you're kind of in, I guess, if we were doing an analogy, this would be late regular season. We maybe haven't reached the playoffs yet. That'll be March, maybe. So as we get towards the playoffs, as it were, I thought a good time to reassess things. But let's start by looking at yesterday's race. I promised at the top of the show we'd have the replay of yesterday's Risen Star, and we're going to watch number 11, Mandaloon, get it done over Proxy, and number 6, Midnight Bourbon, runs third. So top three finishers from the LeCompte. And Mike, I had Brad Cox on yesterday, and I talked about this with him, and we had a stakes preview where I mentioned it. I pulled up the chart from the Kentucky Jockey Club a couple of years ago, where Tis the Law ran third in his third career start. First time around two turns. I gave him a pass there. I did the same thing in the LeCompte with Mandaloon. I thought he got some good education around two turns, running third in the LeCompte. And I was really excited to see him run yesterday. And I thought it was a really nice performance, a 98 buyer figure. So I'm pretty happy with the results yesterday, and I think Mandaloon goes forward nicely. What was your takeaway from the Risen Star?
Well, I rewatched it a couple of times, as I'm sure you did, and on the rewatch, he looks like the winner all the way around. Just relaxed really nicely in third. It looks like definitely the blinkers helped. And I thought, it was a pretty professional performance for just his fourth race. A nice step forward, like you said. He's got tactical speed, which obviously is a plus when you're looking at a 20-horse field in the Derby. And I thought he came home pretty well. You know, I guess it was like 37 2/5 for the final 3/8 by my rudimentary math, which was solid but not elite given the pace setup. And like you said, the speed figures came back pretty solid. I actually thought all the top three ran pretty well.
Yeah, coming into the turn, Midnight Bourbon looked like, man, he was the winner, and I was maybe more skeptical of him coming out of the LeCompte. But coming around the turn, I thought, you know, he's going to run okay. And then Proxy made the late run to get up for second. But, yeah, I thought all three of those come out of the LeCompte and have nice runs yesterday. I will say I was kind of surprised. I pulled up the odds, and I will wait to see the end of the day how this shakes out, because I said yesterday – when I was on Mandaloon, I thought he was interesting in the last future pool where he got pretty decent odds. But I pulled up when I came in this morning Mandaloon was 21-1, which I still think is pretty good, but we'll see. As I say, I'm gonna wait a few hours to see how that shakes out on Mandaloon.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that might dip today. I think he might be closer to the 15-1 range, and maybe even a little lower than that. It seemed like it was pretty fluid at the end of the day yesterday. I took a look at some of the odds, and it looks like there were some late changes. So,
yeah,
see what happens today.
Yeah, as I say, that looked a little generous to me. So, what are your thoughts going forward for those top three, and Mandaloon in particular, as far as stepping along the Derby trail? Where do you rate them in your Derby 10, as it were, if you have one formulated?
Yeah, so I have Greatest Honor as my number one, fairly clear. I really loved his Holy Bull. But I think in that second tier, I could definitely place Mandaloon there. I think I'd have him, in the top five for sure. And then Proxy and Midnight Bourbon. Midnight Bourbon, like you said, he really battled in the stretch, and I like that he's a fighter. But you never like to see your Derby pick get passed by multiple horses in the stretch. And Proxy to me just seems like a little bit more of a grinder. He doesn't really have that extra gear. I am curious to see what happens with Senor Buscador next, because he had a really wide trip and a really terrible pace setup for him. And I think he's better than he showed. But, I mean, obviously, fifth in his season debut is not ideal. But I do think Mandaloon's a cut above the rest of them. I think we could see three or four in the Derby, though.
Yeah, Senor Buscador runs fifth in the field. Went off as the second choice at 5-2. It will be interesting to see what they do next with him. I wanted to go back because I read your column last week on America's Best Racing, and you were talking about Candyman Rocket and the Sam Davis. We're going to watch the stretch run here. Little reminder, Candyman Rocket going to be the number 9 horse. It's a Mott Exacta with number 8, Nova Rags running third, Hidden Stash. Nova Rags runs second. Hidden Stash runs third in here. Known Agenda was a little bit of a disappointment. It's a 3-2 favorite running fifth. But I like Candyman Rocket in here. I like the horse coming in, and so I was happy with the results, and the Mott Mott Exacta was nice. But you seemed, your article, you seem a little bit skeptical of Candyman Rocket heading towards the Derby.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think that the finishing times, I think Tampa plays a little bit slow, and it's tough to get a real feel for exactly how they rate coming out of it. But yeah, it wasn't my favorite prep race. I thought of the two last weekend, I preferred Risk Taking. Just the final 16th and a little bit over 7 seconds. It didn't thrill me. You know, I think, I like the fact that he's got Bill Mott in his corner and he's got a chance to improve. And there's some back class in the pedigree, but I do think he's got to make a really significant jump to be a legitimate threat to win the Derby at this point.
With Nova Rags running second, any consideration there? Because that one's still lightly raced.
Yeah, you know, I guess if I didn't like the winner, it's tough to like the runner-up all that much. And I was looking at the Derby futures, and the odds are appealing there. But, you know, I guess from my perspective, when I'm looking at the Derby futures, I want a solid price that I feel really confident is going to be better than I'm going to get on Derby day. And I want to take a horse that I think actually has a real chance to win, you know, just – and I think he was in the 80s, 80, maybe 85 plus to one. And the odds are great, but, you know, I wouldn't dissuade anybody from making a bet on a horse at 85 to one. But, you know, I don't see Nova Rags as a legitimate win threat at this point.
Talk a little bit about Risk Taking, because I was going to ask you about that one as well. Last week in the Withers, I'm with you. I thought it was a good performance. Strange career so far. The debut at 6 furlongs for Chad Brown and Klarovich. 7th place finish, then they go a mile and a 16th on the turf, wind up with a 6th place finish, and then back on the dirt at 2 turns, wins nicely to break the maiden, and then follows that up with a win in the Withers. It seems like, as a handicapper, maybe just appreciated the 2 turns, needed a few races to figure it out, but clearly has figured it out now.
Yeah, I think what I like most about him, and he looks like he's a big, long striding colt and takes some time to wind up. But once he leveled off in the stretch, I was really impressed with how he finished. He just looked like he's got a lot of power. And, you know, I mean, with a big strider like that, I think, you know, you always worry about finding traffic in the Derby when he's making his move. But I think there's a significant upside there. His dam was a winner at a mile and 6th place at a mile and a 16th. And Chad Brown obviously knows what he's doing with a good one. So I really like Risk Taking. Yeah, like I said, of the two preps last weekend, I preferred him to Candyman Rock.
Let me ask you about another Chad, because this one, when I looked at the odds this morning, was 45 to 1, highly motivated. It's also Chad and Klarovich, but hasn't been seen since Keeneland last year, where the horse won the Nyquist. But at 45 to 1, a Chad Klarovich horse with a decent looking record, I like the odds there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I had identified a handful that I liked just based on the odds last night, and he was one of them, highly motivated. I liked his Nyquist win. The track was really fast, but his maiden win was impressive too. And obviously at 45 to 1, the price is right. That's exactly what you're looking for, yeah. I think, at this point, is a horse that maybe comes in, wins a Derby prep, and suddenly you're looking at, you know, 20 to 1. And if you've locked in at 45 to 1, you've done the right thing. What you don't want is to, you know, I just feel like in February, locking in at 9 to 1 when you might get 6 or 7 to 1 on Derby day just isn't worth the risk. But at 45 to 1, highly motivated is one of the ones that I would definitely target in the Derby future.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you're looking, because you're also looking just to get in the gate 3 months down the road. And so you gotta get 25, 30 to 1, I think. You look at some of these, Essential Quality at 7 to 1, Greatest Honor at 8 to 1. I think that's a little short for the gamble just to make it to the first Saturday in May. But I will talk Greatest Honor. Again, maybe not a jump in on the future pool this weekend, but you mentioned you like this one as far as heading to the Derby. Talk a little bit about Greatest Honor, who another one that took a few starts to break the maiden, did it in the 4th career start, but then follows up. That was a good-looking win in the Holy Bull. I'm with you. Coming out of that, I'm going to be interested to see how Shug gets to the Kentucky Derby, because he's talked about maybe trains up to the Florida Derby, maybe a run in between. But I thought off the Holy Bull, Greatest Honor did look good.
Yeah, I mean, the way he finished, he just looked like he was going by horses who were running in quicksand. And I love to see that move on the turn. I know it hasn't been quite as effective in recent Derbies. Tactical speed has been more valuable. But before then, you know, you'd like to see those horses that are capable of an explosive bid on the final turn. And he really finishes fast. I mean, he's got a heck of a turn of foot. Like you said, as far as the Derby future, you know, you probably, you know, at this point, it would be tough to take 9-1, but he rates for me clearly as my top Derby horse. I love that he's in Shug's hands. You know, he was patient with him, and he's probably got another step to take. And he's also a master at targeting a long range goal and then having the horse at its absolute peak condition heading into that race. So I feel really good about him. You know, there's a few others. Like I said, risk taking at 28-1 in the Derby future, that seems fair to me. You know, I mean, I could see jumping in at that point. Yeah. I'm not sure if he might dip a little bit. I do like Caddo River too. But you know, he's kind of a fringe candidate at the price he's at now. Is he at right around 20-1?
20, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I guess I hate to be greedy, but you know, I just think you're at this point, you're looking for value and getting a leg up on the competition. And, you know, 45-1 on Highly Motivated to me makes a lot of sense, and risk taking at 28-1. And then the others that, you know, like Jackie's Warrior, 25-1's a fair price if you like him, but I really don't. I just don't see there's any way he gets a mile and a quarter. So it, to me, it's about the odds and whether you think they're a legitimate win contender.
Yeah, and I'm just pulling up here because I wanted to see the final odds from the last pool. 26-1 on Bezos. The folks that thought they had something there, yeah, not so much.
Yeah, no. That didn't turn out well. I mean, that's the risk you take when you kind of push all your chips in on a completely untested horse. And like with Highly Motivated, I feel like we at least got the class test. You know, like we know he's good. Can he stretch out? That's a fair question. But at 45-1, it's one you're willing to take.
And one, going back to this week's pool, one that, boy, the odds are too short, clearly. But I'm excited to see Prevalence. I was in doing the handicapping show the day Prevalence won the career debut, January 23rd, down at Gulfstream. And in the Derby pool this time, off of that one start, the Maiden Breaker, and this morning, 12-1. Way too short on a horse like that. But I'm excited to see what Prevalence does in the next start, because that really was a good-looking Maiden Breaker.
Oh yeah, he looks like a serious prospect. But like you said, 12-1 on the Maiden, that'd be a hard pass for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. As I say, I'm looking for. Well, I agree with you. I think risk taking at 27-1. You get to 25-1 or above, then you can kind of start floating around a little bit. Freedom Fighter at 47-1. It's a Bob Baffert 3-year-old, so you get in that 47-50-1 range with the Bob Baffert runner. I could see taking a little pop with that one too, a couple of bucks.
Yeah, I you know, it's distance for me with him. I just don't have a whole lot of faith that he is going to be a mile and a quarter horse by Violence out of a stakes winning sprinter. But yeah, I mean, 48-1 is the right price there. A couple that I thought might be worth just kind of tossing in if you're playing the exacta, you know, Keep Me in Mind, a closer. I could see him clunking up for second. And I think he's, you know, he's pretty legitimate. Roman Centurion, you know, more than double the odds of Medina Spirit, might be one that you might drop in if you were looking for an exact to play. And I like Dream Shake a little bit too. I thought maybe 32-1 was a little bit light, but worth a flyer if you're playing the exactas.
And I said when the last pool closed, and I didn't jump in because I was in here doing the handicapping show in the afternoon, and I was looking as the end of the day on Sunday, things were going back and forth, and I commented all others was 8-5 and had clicked down during the afternoon. And I thought in that early pool, I was anticipating another click to 7-5, which was too short, but it went the other way. And I kicked myself because I thought all others on a January pool, tripling your money at 9-5. I thought the 9-5 was decent in the last pool, and this morning all others is 4-1. I may take a little pop at 4-1. In February, I have to wind up with a few horses in the gate at 4-1.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty fair too. There's probably a chance that comes down to 7-2 or 3-1 at the end of the day. And also, you know, I had some success in the past using all others at pairing with a horse in exact. I think the last time I actually clicked with a Derby future was I'll Have Another. And I think I got really good odds in one of the pools, slightly below what he went off at in the Derby. But I did have an exacta with him and all others that clicked. But it's been a long time between drinks for me with a Derby futures win.
I usually jump in, and I will typically in the gate, including a couple of all other pool bets, and it's some singles. I wind up with like 12 horses in the gate, and I always tell people, you know, it's just a few bucks here and there, but it allows you then to play around a little bit on Derby day because you have some backup.
Yeah, it's fun to have a couple of live horses going in at really high odds, and also, like you said, you don't feel like you have to cover them on certain tickets because you know you're going to come out ahead.
Yeah, again, the Derby Future Pool 3 closes today at 6 o'clock, and with the Risen Star being in the rearview mirror yesterday, you can check the odds. As I say, I'm going to be interested as we get to more afternoon what Mandaloon is at. At the current odds, I'm going to take a pop on Mandaloon. I'm not sure that's going to hold up exactly. And, again, I had Brad Cox on yesterday. He was aimed at Oaklawn this weekend with both Essential Quality and Monomoy Girl, and he said, you know, with the stakes being moved a week, he's still going to aim there. So I'm looking forward to Essential Quality in the three-year-old debut.
Yeah, me too. I mean, like you said, this is kind of like the stretch run of the regular season where, you know, it's kind of in the NBA or in football, you start to separate a little bit. And I think we saw that a little bit yesterday in the Risen Star. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with Essential Quality. You're always a little bit concerned about how they're going to make that shift from 2 to 3. But I think he's going to be fine. I like what I saw from him as a two-year-old. And it seems to me that he's the type that's going to go on from 2 to 3.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the seasonal debut next weekend. That'll be at Oaklawn. Mike, always appreciate the visit. Do we have who's hot, who's not coming up on ABR?
Yeah, I'll have one this week. This will be the second one of the season. And
give us a preview. Who's hot?
Well, I mean, Mandaloon's got to be hot. You know, he's got to be at the top. And I didn't do one last week, so Risk Taking will definitely make an appearance there. And I would imagine Known Agenda might be one of the ones.
Oh, right, cool. Right.
I don't know if I can throw Bezos in because he was never, you know, I mean, he had never really done anything. So we'll see.
That was the craziest, the Bezos, I mean, are there whispers? And then he just does nothing. So that was really kind of a, he can't even make the not hot list because he had nothing to go on. Mike, again, I'll remind people they can check out your writing on the America's Best Racing website regularly this time of year covering the three-year-old scene. Always a good read, and we appreciate the visit. We'll talk again.
Thanks for having me on. It was fun.
Appreciate it. Mike Curry from Jockey Club. And again, you can find his writing on the America's Best Racing website. All right, I'm going to wind it up. And I don't know what here are my promos, which I don't think I really needed the paper anyway. I think there's only a couple of them, and I know them. The prize wheel today. You can swing down to the clubhouse racebook and potentially spin the prize wheel, put your name in the hat. Folks randomly selected throughout the afternoon. There's vouchers, there's swag, there's fun to be had. Spinning the prize wheel, clubhouse racebook this afternoon, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. I'll have an online bankroll. I think you can probably still put your name in the hat for that. Check the website for details on potentially being on the bankroll team this afternoon online. And tomorrow here at the clubhouse racebook, there is a knockout challenge. It's a holiday Monday. Some of the bigger venues will be racing, and we'd love to have you come down, watch the racing, and take advantage of the knockout challenge here at the Clubhouse Racebook tomorrow, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Thanks again to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. All right, I'm going to step out, but I'll be back in, as usual, about an hour and a half or so, taking a look at some of the action for this Sunday afternoon. Little Aqueduct, we'll have a little Tampa, we'll have a little Gulfstream. Don't forget, if like me, you like Oaklawn and you're looking for Oaklawn, we've mentioned it already a few times this weekend, but if you didn't catch up with that, Oaklawn, with the anticipated really cold weather down there, canceled the entire weekend a couple of days ago. So there's no Oaklawn this weekend. And they took the stakes from this weekend, moved them to next weekend. But if you're looking for Oaklawn, no Oaklawn this weekend with the weather situation. What? I was wondering about that. Laurel has also canceled, I'm being told, from the control room, because they canceled yesterday. They're, I suppose, cold as well, but they were having, you know, some sleet and ice and things yesterday. I'm guessing that played in. We talked with Dave Rodman yesterday before they canceled in anticipation of a big stakes day. But when we talked to Dave, he said he had driven in and there was a little sleet already. So he was, you know, not sure how the weekend was going to play out. So far, it has not played out for Laurel, but we'll see. And again, they're, have they said anything about tomorrow at Laurel? No. Okay, so we don't know. They are one of the tracks scheduled to run tomorrow. So we'll see if things can hold up for the President's Day card out at Laurel. We don't have any word on that so far. Today has canceled, however. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for Racing Across America for this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. As always, appreciate your tuning in. Hopefully we tossed out some good, interesting, informative, entertaining info this morning. We'll try to do more of the same this afternoon on OTB Live. So again, in about an hour and a half, we'll fire up OTB Live, and we will see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.